something with you along this line.
To underscore, to strengthen this birth. And that is the necessary practice of the priesthood.
Amen.
The New Testament priesthood as revealed in the Bible, in our church life today. Now, I'm very happy that there's some students among us, and I don't know whether you're new or what, just stay with me, okay? I'll try to make this as understandable to you as possible. Before we do that, I'd like us all to read two key verses in the New Testament on this subject. And that would be, of course, in 1 Peter, the first epistle of 1 Peter. And the two verses are both found in chapter 2 of that epistle. And that would be verse 5 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on your device or on your printed page. Just turn with me to those two verses. 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9. Let's read it together, shall we?
You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Here you have the priesthood mentioned as a holy priesthood which we are. Christians, as a body, is a priesthood in God's eyes. Now let's turn to verse 9 and read it.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Right in this same one chapter, you have the priesthood described as a holy priesthood, firstly, and then a royal priesthood, secondarily. And as we will see, that this word holy and this word royal is quite an inclusive description of this priesthood to which we belong. Talking about a priesthood, that means we're all priests in God's eyes. Now, I'd like to say something here first, based on these two verses. In these two verses, we find not only that we are a priesthood in the eyes of God, and you all know what, or you all should know what priests are. Priests, simply speaking, are those people that are called by God to serve him.
Amen.
All right? So a priest is a serving one. It's someone that serves God. This is their living. This is their livelihood. This is their vocation. This is their job, if you will.
Amen.
Or even I would say this is their profession.
Amen.
This is their employment.
Yes.
Their whole life. Their whole living, their whole existence surrounds this matter of serving God.
Amen.
They live to serve, and they serve to live.
Amen.
Everything that has to do with their life, their aspiration, their work, their destiny, their future has to do with their service to God. That is a priest. All right? And furthermore, that service, according to the revelation in the whole Bible, and certainly according to the Greek, you know, the Greek is the original language of the New Testament.
Right.
When you study this word serve, you as in serving God, you find in many, many cases, not in all cases, because Greek is a very rich language and has many shades of meaning, even to a singular word. But you will find time and again, when you read this word serve, and you get into the Greek meaning of this word serve, for example, you find this word used very much by the Apostle Paul in, let's say, the Epistle to Romans. You know, Romans is a book on service. You'd be surprised. This word serve is mentioned many times. Now, sometimes when the word serve is mentioned, it means the service of a slave, you know, like a slave serving the master. But more often than not, when this word serve is mentioned, it does not refer to that. It refers to the service of a priest. Very, very meaningful. The service of a priest. For example, Paul, in chapter 1, verse 9 of Romans, he said what? I serve God in my spirit in the gospel of his Son.
Amen.
That serve, that word serve there, is such a word. He's saying that he's serving God as a priest. And not only so, that word has the meaning, has the denotation of serving in worship. All right? Do you follow me?
Amen.
In other words, this is not just serving as we think, doing something, doing some work, getting something, some job done. No, that is a service that should be counted as a worship to God. That means as they serve, they worship.
Amen.
And their service comprises a worship to God.
Amen.
This is a very, very important thing. So, and you will find this, of course, in the Epistle to Romans. And, for example, few verses in the book of Philippians, Paul would say the same thing, that we New Testament people, we no longer serve God in the flesh like the Jews did in the Old Testament, but we serve God, what? In the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In the Holy Spirit. And that we serve again is this word, serving as priests in worship to God. Then Paul, in one of his epistles to his young co-worker Timothy, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I serve God, the God of my forefathers, from a pure conscience. That serve, that word serve, also has this meaning. It's the same word. So this is a oft-used word in the New Testament. Now, with John, the Apostle John, in similarly, but I just quote one verse, just one verse, and that is a verse in the last chapter of the entire Bible, and that is in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. It says what? In eternity, in the holy city, where we will all be, and which we will all become, this holy city,
amen.
New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Where the throne of God is established. When all of God's redeemed elect will be there. And all of them will be slaves. What will they be doing in eternity? And his slaves shall serve him.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know, brothers and sisters, our eternal destiny is to serve God?
Amen. Amen.
That you are made as a man to serve God.
Amen.
According to his purpose.
Amen.
That all the things, that's the reason we're breathing. Mm. That's the reason why we're given life. And that's the reason, due to our fall, God came to save us.
Yes.
And redeem us.
Amen. Amen.
To make us a kingdom of priests.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why he regenerated us with his own life. Mm-hmm. To make us his own. To make us his people. To make us his children. All of this is so that we can be a priesthood. Amen. We can be these priests that will serve in worship to him.
Amen.
Why? Let me tell you why. Because God is hungry for worship.
Amen. Amen.
And not just worship from angels. And he had millions of angels. Who knows? In the pre-Adamic age, they were the one who served God.
Right.
Angelic worship. But God is not satisfied with that. God wants man, his creature, to serve him.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you realize this,
princess? Yes.
You were made, you were created, you were born, not just to live an earthly life, go to Cal Poly to get an engineering degree. And I'm an architect. I know you have a great architecture school. And become, you know, get a career, get married, have a good family, go to church on Sunday. That is not what God wants.
No.
That is not what God wants. God wants you, your whole living, your whole life,
amen,
to be serving him.
Amen. Amen.
To worship
him. Amen.
This is what God is thirsty for.
Amen.
Now, we come back to 1 Peter, these verses. And so we see here in Peter's words that firstly he said in the beginning of this chapter that, I should say chapter 1, that we all, chosen by God, have been regenerated by the living and abiding word of God. We were once dead in sins. And now we are born again. We're regenerated with his divine life, his own life. And now we have become his people, his children. Then in chapter 2, he moved on progressively. This is Peter. He said this, as newborn babes, now that you're born, you're a bunch of babies. Am I right?
Yeah, right.
As newborn babes, you should long for the guileless milk of the word.
Amen. Amen.
So what should we do after we're born, after we're saved? We should be what? We should be drinking milk. All right?
Amen.
We should be drinking milk. What milk? The milk of the word.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, whether you are just saved this year or you have been saved for many years, we all, before the Lord, should be like babes.
Amen. Amen.
Babes, you know, little babies, you know, mothers, you all know. They live for only one thing. That's the next feeding. Am I right? They cry, they scream, because they want food. They don't care less about anything else. You know, they will disrupt any scene. They will make a mess. Whatever they do, they will embarrass you because they want food. They cannot wait. Saints, do you realize we should be such babies?
Oh, amen.
I mean, we should be crying all the time for the next feeding.
Amen.
What do we drink? What milk do we drink? The milk of the word. Oh,
amen.
My brothers and sisters, this word of God.
Amen.
This is milk to us.
Amen.
This is food to us.
Amen.
We cannot live by bread alone, am I right?
Right?
But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Dear saints, I wish you would all love the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And every day you would be feeding on it more than just one time, just like a baby. Every, 3 hours?
4 hours, eating time again.
Saints, we need this word with us all the time.
Amen.
Because it is only by feeding, by drinking the word of God, that we can grow. The word says that we can grow unto salvation.
Amen.
Now, here may I make a plug, do a promotion. This is commercial time right now, okay? I'm giving a little commercial, right? And that is in 2 weeks, or is it three? We're going to have a working saints retreat
yeah.
Up in by Santa Cruz, in the Redwood Christian Park, or Conference Park, I don't know what it is. And there, I have a strong burden. There'll be hundreds of people there. I have a strong burden to talk about the intake of the Word of God. So the subject will be how to handle the Word of God.
Amen. Mm.
It will be a very rich time. So any of you who are working saints, I don't think there's any kind of age limit, please come.
Amen.
I think registration is still open. Amen. For another week or so. So you can talk to the brothers and find out how to get registered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens after we drink the word? As we drink this word, this is really the way we feed on Jesus.
Amen.
This is the way we eat Christ.
Mm-hmm. True.
This is the way we're supplied and nourished. And as this little baby drinks, and I have this little 1-year-old grandson, goodness, does he? He's now graduating the solids. I mean, he just gets them. Am I right? Okay. The eating will cause one thing to happen, and that is growth.
Amen.
Not only there will be a growth, according to the New Testament, this growth will result in transformation, in a change. In a change. So, it follows in verse 4, verse 5, which we read just now. You yourselves also as living stones. Living stones from babies. You become stones. What happens? Babies grow. And as they grow, that food will do something organically. Metabolically in them. You know what we consume this morning as breakfast? It's no longer that banana. You know, I ate a banana, ate some oatmeal. Today, if you slice open my stomach, you probably will not find banana sitting there or oatmeal sitting there. Probably you won't find anything because I have assimilated, I have digested and assimilated that banana and that oatmeal into my bloodstream, into my cells. So if you want to find banana, just look at me. I am banana. I am oatmeal. Oatmeal has become me, and banana has become me. That is the fact. This is how it works. Nutritionists will tell you. Doctors will tell you. This is a mysterious thing, and this is such a daily, simple thing. And this thing altogether applies to our Christian and spiritual life. So every day as we eat the Lord, as we drink this word of God, and this word is actually embodies the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Christ is the Word.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word. That Word is just Christ.
Amen.
And this Christ today is also embodied in His living Word. So when we come to the Word and we eat it using our spirit, this Word will also become spirit to be received by us. And this is the way we eat the word. Actually, if you come to the retreat, you will find out all the details. The way for us to, there's no better way to eat this word, to eat Christ, than to use our spirit to pray this word.
Amen. Amen.
To pray with this word.
Amen.
We call it pray reading, whatever you call it. You know, I've been doing this for the last 50 years. And I just can stand here as a testament to tell you, brothers and sisters, praying the Word of God is the top way to eat Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And to grow. And to grow.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
And so, here, as I grow, I also experience a kind of transformation, a kind of change. You know, in milk, there's a lot of calcium. Am I right? In fact, they add calcium to the milk. Then the calcium is good for the bones, I understand. Am I right? We need this nutrition.
Amen.
To strengthen our body.
Amen.
And so this nutrition, when it comes into us, will result in a metabolic change in us, causing us to be transformed. You say transformed into what? Well, the Bible here, the word here tells us to transform, to be transformed into a stone. Start out as a baby, and you ended up becoming a stone. Then you say, what's the point? Why stone? I like babies, I don't like stones. Well, the baby's destiny is to become stones. Well, I'll tell you why. It is actually very clear in this verse. Listen. You yourselves as living stones are being built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
Into a holy priesthood.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, this transformation, this growth that results in transformation, that we will all become pieces of stone, is for a purpose.
Mm.
That is so that we can be built up.
Amen. Amen.
We can be built up into a house.
Amen.
What house? A spiritual house.
Amen.
Obviously not a brick and mortar. Right? Obviously, it's not steel or aluminum. This is a spiritual house because we're in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
What is this house? What is this spiritual house? I'll tell you plainly. This spiritual house is God's dwelling place.
Amen.
This spiritual house is God's residence. This dwelling place and this residence is simply called the church.
Amen.
Now you know, the church is not some funny looking building with a steeple, with some bells on it, with a cemetery next to it. No, that is a physical building. No, no. The real church are composed of human beings.
Amen.
Christians that have been redeemed and regenerated, who have the life of God.
Amen.
Who are growing.
Amen.
And who are being transformed.
Amen.
Into spiritual stone.
Amen.
And when God, the Lord Jesus, met Peter the first time, his name was not Peter, his name was Simon Barjona. And he walk up to him and say, Simon, you will be called Peter.
Amen.
You know what Peter means? Peter means a stone.
Amen.
He is prophesying that, Peter, your destiny is that you're going to become a stone in this spiritual house.
Amen. Amen.
That is in my house.
Amen.
He predicted that. And so he got a name change. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, when you were saved, when you were regenerated, you got a name change? What's your name, brother? Huh?
Dennis.
Dennis,
You're not Dennis. You're stone. Your name is Stone.
Yes.
That was my name. We all got the same new name.
And that name bespeaks our destiny, our fate eternally. We're no longer good for anything else. We're just good for the building of God's house.
Amen.
So that he can have a place to live in.
Amen.
In fact, that house becomes a mutual dwelling place for him and for us.
Amen.
So what is the church? The church is a spiritual house.
Amen.
Amen.
And before that, sorry to hear somewhat kind of being kind of slow and deliberate. In verse 4, it says, coming to him, a living stone. You realize the first stone is not you, not Peter. For sure it's not us. The first stone actually is Christ himself.
Amen.
He is called the chief corner stone.
Right.
It's in the same chapter.
Amen.
You know, in the old days, they build a building, the cornerstone is the most important. That's the first stone that is laid, and everything goes up from there. Christ, he was rejected by the Jews. But he was what? Chosen by God and precious to God.
Amen.
And he is the one who will become the head of the corner, the cornerstone. And all of us, all the believers of Christ, are built upon this cornerstone to become the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
The spiritual house of God. Amen. So that's why we need to drink milk. That's why we need to grow. So that we can be transformed into such a living stone.
Amen.
You cannot build a house with babies. Am I right?
Right.
You build
right.
a house with stone.
Amen.
Solid. Transformed. Hardy. Right? They can take pressure. They can hold up something. And that's what it is. Now, my burden this morning is not all of that. What time is it? I better watch the clock. It's the holy priesthood. And if you read this verse, you'll find, dear ones, that this spiritual house is also a holy priesthood.
Amen.
So here you have a house. This is not your house, not my house, okay? This is the house of the living God.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is the house of the living God.
Amen.
That means God lives here. And since God lives here, and he is the one who desires and needs worship from man, so this is also called the house of worship. You know, today we call these church buildings the house of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, the real house of worship is us.
Amen.
This is the house.
Yeah.
And where does the worship come from? That worship comes from the priest. So here you realize that we are not only stones, we're also we are stony priests. Or we are priestly stones.
Yes.
Stones to be built and priests to worship.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we have today the very house, which we are, because we're the stones in
yes.
this house.
Yes.
We also happen to be the priests in the house. Rendering God the worship.
Amen.
I tell you, this is a fulfillment of that picture in the Old Testament through and through.
Amen.
And that is when God called the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness to the mountain of God. He gave them, besides the Ten Commandments and many ordinances, he gave them Moses, two main revelations, which are to become patterns that Moses should give to the people. Do you remember? Number one, the vision of the tabernacle.
Amen.
You remember that? Which is a prefigure of the church, God's house. Mm-hmm. Number two, intertwined with that revelation is the revelation of the priesthood. You remember that? You remember that? And when this vision was given to Moses, and Moses passed this vision on to God's people, these two visions, these two revelations were intertwined. The tabernacle with the furnishings and the priesthood mixed in. Mixed in. So what we see here that Peter is telling us in one short verse explains that whole type in the Old Testament in Exodus. Just remember this, brothers and sisters. The tabernacle and the priesthood. Or in, according to Peter, the house and the priesthood. God, the God of this universe, let me repeat again, is after two things. Number one, he is homeless. And he needs a place to live in. Number two, he is God. And he needs the worship from him. That's the two things. If you go away this morning, remember these two things. God wants a house to live in with his people, and God wants a priesthood to serve him and worship him.
Amen.
That will satisfy God. And this is why we're here, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And this is the church life. You know what the church life is? The church life is just a place where we are built up to be a dwelling place for God.
Amen.
To where God can be expressed.
Amen.
And the church life is also a priesthood.
Amen.
Where day and night, in all the things we do, our meeting life, our daily life, are all a form of service.
Amen.
All a form of worship to God.
Amen.
You know, the moment we get up in the morning, my brothers and sisters, we should spend the whole day worshiping God.
Yeah.
I don't
Amen.
Mean bowing down, you know what I mean, physically, and that'd be a little weird, you know. But I do mean in the spirit, we're worshiping Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him should worship Him in spirit.
Amen.
And in reality, and not outward physically in that way, but in the spirit, as we're touching God, as we are praying to Him, as we are even enjoying Him, we are rendering to Him the worship.
Amen.
Not to mention that besides this kind of enjoyment, we Christians also would what? Present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice.
Amen.
That's what we seek to do by the apostle.
Right.
That is our service and worship to Him.
Amen.
And when we come to a meeting like this morning, when we broke bread, we give the Lord the praise, we sing to Him, we praise Him. That is the sacrifice of our lips, confessing His name according to Hebrews 13, and that is our worship to Him.
Amen.
I tell you, our whole church life is a corporate worship to God.
Amen.
And let me tell you, even our financial giving to the Lord, our material contribution to Him, which He charged us to do, to meet the need of the needy ones, to meet the need of His serving ones, to meet the need for His move, the gospel. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are worshiping Him.
Amen.
Next time you drop a check, you drop some money into the offering box, don't think you are just kind of making a gift.
Right.
You must have the deep sensation, Lord, I am worshiping You right now.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just the dollars that is important to God.
Amen.
It's our worship to Him. Remember that woman, that poor woman there in Luke? He had only two mites. You know, I don't know, maybe a quarter. I don't know what that is equivalent to.
Much.
Huh? Not much. Maybe just a quarter. That's all he had. All she had. And there was this rich man who had millions of dollars. I don't know. And he could just pocket change will be thousands times more than what this lady could afford. But the Lord did not praise the rich man. Because he gave out of his abundance. He appraised this lady who had only 2 mites left. And he gave that.
Amen.
And he gave that. And the Lord praised this lady and said, she did it. She did it because she gave her life.
Amen.
Those were not 2 mites. That's her livelihood.
Yes.
And she put it in the offering box.
Amen.
That means what? That means she did not just give money. She gave her whole heart.
Yes.
She gave her whole being.
Amen.
And that is worship.
Amen.
You want to worship God? Give your whole being to Him.
Amen.
And everything that you possess will come with it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
God doesn't want your money without your heart.
Yeah.
You know, some of the students here, they don't have much, I think. They're not rich. They don't even have that much money to give. I was once a student, I know how it was. But at that young age, as a college kid, I was in the church life. I didn't have much money to give, really. But I gave my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
I gave myself to the Lord.
Amen.
All of it. I said, Lord, one day I'm going to make some money. I'll give it to you. Which I did.
Amen.
I'm not here boasting. I'm not here exposing myself. In all these years, the Lord knows. I've done business. I work. And even in doing business, I told the Lord, I don't do business just to make money.
That's right.
Of course, I make money
right.
While I'm in business, right? But this business is to supply myself so I don't become a burden to your church.
Mm.
But much more than that, Lord, I do this business to support the church and your need.
Amen.
You know, I like to tell you, I like to testify to you, the Lord heard my prayer. And in these last decades, he answered that prayer in a way that is far beyond what I had asked or think.
Mm.
So in all these years, I was able to serve the Lord.
Amen.
In this way.
Amen.
Now, I don't say this to boast. No. I'm just giving you a testimony.
Amen.
That this is the life of a
Amen.
And brothers, the priest, his hands are like this. He's always offering up something to God. You know, the priests in the Old Testament, they're always offering something. Either this burnt offering or the meal offering. You know, bulls and goats in the Old Testament, those are types. And they also offer incense in the holy place, burn the incense at the golden altar. And that is a type of prayer of the saints.
Amen.
If you read the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, what are we doing in our church life everywhere? Whether it's a big church, small church, we should be just doing one thing all the time. Day and night, we are just offering priests.
Amen.
We are just priests offering to God.
Amen.
And I'd like to tell you that the real offering that we give to God as priests is simply Christ Himself.
Amen.
God is hungry for worship. That's true. But it makes a difference. It counts what you worship Him with. You know what I mean? In the Old Testament, the children of Israel came together to worship God. But they could They are not allowed to come empty-handed. They have to come with their hands full. And in the Old Testament, those were the produce that came out of their labor in the good land, whether it would be wheat, whether it be grain, whether it would be oil, whether it would be goats, whether it would be sheep, whether it would be cattle. They have to bring these things to this worshiping place and worship, offer these things to God for God's satisfaction. And they would in turn enjoy these things in the presence of God together.
Amen.
As a celebration. So this is a picture of our church life today. You in San Luis Obispo, you in Morgan Hill, you in Salinas. You may have a small number, but what are we doing? What are we doing? I tell you, day and night, we are there, what? Offering.
Offering. Amen.
And I tell you one more offering, which Paul made very clear. And that is the offering of what? Of man.
Oh, yeah.
Offering of saved men.
Amen.
Offering of Gentiles.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means, and Paul said it in his own words, he was a laboring priest of the gospel.
Yes.
So gospel preaching, to tell out the good news to this world, to bring people to witness Christ, to bring people to the Lord. All this is also our offering of these ones to God.
Amen.
So actually, without going through all those four outlines from Labor Day, I gave it to you already, right?
Thank you.
I still remember the four messages. Number one, the living of a priest.
Amen.
I talk about this, that priest's food, diet,
yes,
must be Christ.
Amen.
His clothing must be Christ.
Amen.
That means his expression.
Yes.
And his dwelling must be Christ.
That's right.
He is to live in Christ, abide in Christ day and night.
Amen.
Abide in me, and I in you.
Amen.
So, a priest, if you are a New Testament priest, firstly, you have to eat Christ all the time.
Yes.
That's your diet. You have to live Christ all the time.
Amen.
That's your clothing.
Amen.
You have to dwell in Christ all the time.
Amen.
Because he is your protection.
Amen.
He is where you belong.
Yes.
Then the second message I remember, it is on the building of the priest. Simply put, today God does not want singular priests, lone priests, individualistic priests. No, God wants a body of priests.
Amen.
Hence the word priesthood.
Amen.
A built-up body. That's why the stones. We need to be coordinated.
Amen.
I cannot serve God alone. God would not accept that. God wants a whole body to serve him.
Yeah. Amen.
So I must be joined to my brothers.
Amen.
And sisters.
Amen.
I must be built up with them.
Amen.
I cannot serve in an independent way.
Amen.
Oh,
right.
Praise the Lord for the
saints.
Praise the Lord for my co-stone.
Amen.
Matt, you're my co-stone.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And we have to be built up together.
Right.
Related together.
Amen.
Fitted and framed together.
Amen.
Especially in small churches. Brothers, don't be a rolling stone. Be a built up stone.
Amen.
Join with the saints.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
It is when we build up that we become a priest.
Amen.
To serve God.
Amen.
You cannot go it alone. Don't become a renegade priest, okay? Be a built up priest.
Amen.
The third message I gave is what? The serving of a priest, which I covered already.
Amen.
All these things. What? Be what? Your contact with the Lord, your morning time with the Lord, your reading of the Bible, your prayer to him, all this is a form of worship.
Amen.
Then you'll come into the meetings, whether it's prayer meeting, whether it's the Lord's table, whether it's a prophesying meeting. All these are our opportunity to offer something of Christ to the Lord.
Amen.
That we have enjoyed. So we all need to speak the word. We'll talk about this in a few weeks. To offer something. So this morning, the Lord's table was wonderful, but I think it could have been better.
Yeah.
If more of you would open your mouth to praise the Lord.
Amen.
God would have gotten a much richer worship.
Amen.
So never come to the meeting with your mouth closed, okay? Then you say, oh, when I open my mouth, nothing comes out. Well, that's why you get, during the week, you need to enjoy the Lord.
Yes.
You need to read his word.
Amen.
You need to eat. You need to drink.
Amen.
You need to experience him. Then when you come, you have something to say.
Amen.
Overflow Christ.
Amen.
That's your worship.
Amen.
All our meeting life are times of worship. Amen. Christianity calls these meeting services. And in that sense, it is correct. Because every meeting is a time to serve the Lord. And every meeting is a meeting of worship.
Amen.
Even prayer meeting is where we burn the incense.
Yes.
At the golden altar.
Amen.
In worship.
Amen.
That's the church life. And then I mentioned already, our even monetary giving to the Lord is a service and worship to him,
mm-hmm,
as priests. And our preaching of the gospel, our caring for the new ones, is our worship to him.
Amen.
My, what a delightful living.
Amen.
I've been living this kind of life for the last 40-some years, and I'm not tired of it one bit.
Hallelujah.
I'll do this until I die.
Hallelujah.
Until I meet the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, there's nothing more joyous, nothing more delightful than a priestly life.
Amen.
What a privilege and what a blessing.
Amen.
That we are the New Testament priests of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And the last outline, which is what you covered this last week, is the offering of the priest. When I especially cover the matter of the gospel.
Yeah.
Oh, I am. Now, let me pivot now from the priesthood to Central Coast. Amen?
Okay. Okay.
I'm so happy here.
Here too.
With you. Yes, your number is small. Here are a few, there are a few. And I come from a big church of 400 people, kind of like that. But let me tell you, it's good to be in a big church, but there's certain beauty about small churches.
Amen.
That a big church does not have. Because it's way too many people. You don't even know who's who. You know, today some of the, what's your name? Church, I don't even know her name. She came from Irvine, my church. And so I say, Sister, praise the Lord, what's your name? And where are you from? She said, I came from your church. Now, I don't, not everyone is like me, who is bad with names and just don't remember people. But the point is, when you're in a big situation, you know, that's why in Irvine, Chuck,
yeah,
we broke the church down deliberately into 15 districts, so that they would become small. So that in a big church, we can experience small church life. We want to replicate Central Coast church life.
Sweet.
Because when it's big, it's impersonal.
Right.
Nobody knows who's who, goodbye, and that's it. But when you're small, you know everybody. And when one person is missing, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you go after them. Am I right?
Yes, yes.
A certain level of intimacy and mutuality
that
you cannot find in a big meeting.
Amen.
So I am for small churches. But small churches lead to what? Small churches should grow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Should grow. So here you are in so many small churches.
Right.
I would just like to tell you a few things. Number one, I'm very burdened for this area.
Praise the Lord.
The Central Coast.
Amen.
I'm very burdened for this area. I know I move around the bay up there, but I tell you, I'm very burdened for Central Coast. I wish more people will come here, will move here, or more retirees will, you know, retire here. I mean, this is a wonderful place to retire. I don't mean just San Luis Obispo, because real estate is a little bit, higher here. But I'm talking about the whole area.
Oh, sure. Yes.
I mean, this coast is beautiful. I mean, I look at these signs, Morro Bay over here, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a beautiful place. And there are many people here who wants this gospel.
Amen.
Am I right?
That's right.
Amen.
Who wants the Lord. Look at here, Cal Poly. Yeah. You got 18,000 kids, yeah. Students here.
Yep.
They're all made by God. They are all made to be priests. They just
yes.
Don't know it, you know?
Amen.
And it's our job to tell them that.
Amen.
And I think more and more are getting to know that. And in the communities, there's so many Spanish-speaking people in Salinas, right? The farms, and this and that.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, this is a marvelous place to have the church life.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be a little small, you may feel a little bit weak, but don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You are a priesthood.
Amen. Amen.
There's a priesthood in Central Valley.
Amen.
And it satisfies God.
Amen.
So I'd like to tell you that, and we have your back, okay?
Amen.
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 I'd
like to stir more people to move here. But the second point is, this place is just made to have small churches because the towns are usually smaller.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Irvine, over 200,000 people. So we need a little bigger church, right? Mm-hmm. Here you have, you know, this zero growth policy, you know, all these progressive communities. Today, San Luis Obispo is still 45,000 people. So a little small church is fits the situation. But we need more small churches.
Amen.
Right? So now, this means that in the Central Coast area with small churches, you must take it, we must have our church life with a different, slightly different strategy. Okay? In big churches, you just break and sort of, that's okay, you know, it's kind of. But in churches where you're a bit scattered, and you're distance from each other, I tell you, the way for you to go on is by clustering, by blending, like this morning.
Amen.
And I think you do this quarterly.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Four times a year.
I believe the Spanish saints in Salinas, they do it some other time. I tell you, this kind of regular clustering together like this is wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful. Because you have a larger number, you realize that you're not the small clump of people in the city, then the body is great. Am I right?
Yeah.
So this kind of clustering is essential to your going on. I like to strengthen, I like to promote the blending of the churches.
Amen.
The traffic between the churches.
Amen.
Even besides the quarterly Lord's Day, there should be a lot of traffic up and down the freeway. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And just to take care of each other. And I think you do that. Visit the churches. Be with one another, almost like you are one church.
Right.
Yeah.
Singular.
Yes.
In Central
yes.
Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Think that way. That's healthy. That's right. The church that was in Judea is in the New Testament. A region, a singular church. Just consider yourself one church with different districts. You are the, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the Morgan Hill district, right? Mm-hmm. Of the church in Central Coast. That's not bad. Okay, amen?
Amen.
Number three. And of course, you are attached to Northern California. There will be more wonderful things happening in next year. The Lord is really moving in this whole region.
Right.
And the third thing is, and I will end here, that you would all live this kind of a church life that I just described.
Amen.
That is the priestly church life.
Mm. Amen.
That's why we gave the conference in Labor Day.
Amen.
Not just to expound the Bible, but that we would practice these things.
Amen.
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 Will you do that?
Amen.
I believe if you do, the Lord will bless.
Amen.
The Lord will bless everything. Your number will grow. The Lord's life among you, among us will increase.
Amen.
And the Lord's testimony will become more and more strong.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord will have a dwelling place in the central coast to express himself.
Amen.
The Lord will have a priesthood.
Amen.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices for his worship.
Amen.
And the Lord's heart's desire will be carried out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is the Lord.
Amen.
What should we do now,
Chuck? Amen.